الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. One very important thing, basically, we all should understand that our Darul Ulooms are completely different from other educational institutes, that means secular education institutes, where today there is no real emphasis even on education, but really it is making animals out of human beings. And the object, why I say it is animalism, is only dunya, just how to earn more money, how to live it up in this dunya, and no thought of how to be a human being, what is our relationship with our Creator, who has created us, who gives us everything. No relationship with our Creator, no concern whatsoever for akhirat, what will happen in the qabr, which is a reality, life in the qabr on the day of qiyamah, and after that the decision of jannat and jahannam. And the main thing there is that it's forever and ever. But there, in that way of life, there is no consideration for that whatsoever. So understand that here we have come to become human beings. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say, if anyone wants to become a Sufi, a Buzurg, he should go to some other Khanqa. But if he wants to become a human being, he must come to my Khanqa. Right? So to become a human being, to know what akhlaq is, what character is, respect of elders, respect of our parents, respect of authority, all those things are very, very important. And in that, it is from both sides. It's not only we respect and we are obedient, but our parents, our ustads, our sheikh, the administration in the madrasa, they must be also kind and compassionate to the students. It must work both ways. Students must be 100% obedient and must listen, and they must be kind and compassionate also. And in that, one dua we should also make regularly, that Allah make all the children of the world obedient to their parents. Make them the coolness of the eyes of the parents. And not only there, normally we stop there, but make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes the parents, Allah Ta'ala makes the parents to be kind and considerate of the student, of the children. And that the parents see to the ta'aleem and the tarbiyat of the students, of the children, in the same way in a madrasa, everywhere else also. So that is also a very, very important aspect. One thing we should understand when we come to our type of Darul Ulooms, and particularly here, which we try, and by Allah's fazl alone, not only we can't make our own report, but what other people say, great ulama that have visited us, to such an extent that when the madrasa was still in its very beginning stages, it was not here, it was there 39 Kismet, that is where the madrasa started, and a great alim like Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's not only an alim, people have said he should be the administrator and the president, not of India, of the world. He's a man like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, putting things straight and keeping things straight. Madrasas, he would come, see the ta'aleem and that afterwards. First he would see the cleanliness of the place, the rooms, etc. He would see whether there is efficiency in the administration. He would see whether there is punctuality on time with regard to other things. Then, for example, Maulana should go and see the Hafiz classes. What kind carpets they are. And then he would go and see Darul Hadith. And in most madrasas, they would put the best carpet, new carpet if they'll buy, in Darul Hadith. And that old carpet, they'll put it in a Hifz class, which speaks volumes of the attitude. That means we don't regard Hifz class as so important, we regard Darul Hadith as very, very important. And if anyone comes also to the madrasa, whoever shows them around, shows them more Darul Hadith. Hifz classes, like, by the way, it's not important. Maulana should say, Quran is the biggest kitab. And we treat it like a small kitab. Bukhari, find Dora Hadith, yeah, very great, all the Hadith kitabs. But to give it preference over Quran Sharif, that is not correct. So when Maulana came and he saw our madrasa here, and he tested the students also, then after that he went to Port Elizabeth, and he met Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, the Maulana of Majlis, and he told him, if any students want to study, don't send them to India, don't send them anywhere, send them to Darul Uloom Azad. So that was the report he gave. Similarly, Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah and many other great buzurgs. So what we try here is not only the ta'aleem and the tarbiyat of the students also. When a student takes admission, especially in our madrasa here, our concern, and when he signs his application form, amongst which that he'll abide by all the rules and regulations, etc., all the other things, and from our side it is now amanat has come in our hand. And not only for the ta'aleem of the student, but for the tarbiyat of the student also. That is very, very important. Just to understand the difference between ta'aleem and tarbiyat, one example. Today it's a daily occurrence in the whole world, in the police force, in all the countries. A policeman who's got a firearm, then he shoots his whole family, and finally he shoots himself also. It's a daily occurrence, it happens everywhere. He shoots his colleagues at work, and then he shoots himself. The people, soldiers who go to war, they kill their own people, and then they commit suicide. So what was this? The ta'aleem was done, to understand it in our context. They knew how to use the firearm, but their tarbiyat was not done. That on whom must the firearm be used. So instead of using it on the enemy, on the crooks, on the wrongdoers, they're using it on their family. They're using it on their colleagues. They're using it on innocent citizens, civilians. There is a common thing. So this is, if there is only ta'aleem and no tarbiyah, this is the result that will happen. A student will become a hafiz, for example, or he becomes a very good qari, and then we see he uses it to take out money from people. We see it happening. For one qiraat, he will charge so much, thousands of rands of dollars. For one bayan, Allah blessed him, now he can make good bayan also, and he makes a condition, I'll come for every bayan, so much money. They charge money for this. So no ta'aleem is there. Very good, but no tarbiyat. So they're using it for dunya's sake. They're using it for their stomach, for their pleasure and for their comfort. So the duty, when you sign here, and when you are accepted, you are an amanat in our hand, that we have to see to your ta'aleem also, we have to see to your tarbiyat also. If only the ta'aleem gets done, tarbiyat is not done, then with all the best marks also, a person is still a failure. And really, if a person didn't get ta'aleem, and there are in our madrasas, such students were tolerated, who are very weak as far as learning is concerned. But they tolerated them, and there were many parents also who should say, I know he's weak, he can't learn, but just let him stay in this mahal. And then Allah Ta'ala took great, great work from such people, though they didn't become alims. But Allah Ta'ala took great work for them. So if your ta'aleem is done, but tarbiyat is not done, you can be on your way to the wrong place in akhirat. But if you didn't do ta'aleem, but your tarbiyat is done, then you are successful. To give you one example of that, a child wants to become hafiz, but he's weak, he can't manage it, but he's trying. And the ustad didn't hit him very badly, shout him, reprimand him, in which case he would get hatred for the ustad. He will get hatred for Quran Sharif. He will get hatred for that madrasa and all the madaris. And he will get a hatred for Islam also. Even if you hit him so much and you made him a hafiz and a best hafiz, but if he got hatred for Quran Sharif, for the ustad, for deen, we have failed in our mission. But if he didn't become hafiz, but the akhlaq, the way he was taught, and he got love for the ustad, love for Quran Sharif, and love for deen, we are 100% successful, even if he did not become hafiz. So this aspect is very important. Keep it in your mind as we carry on discussing that this is very, very important. Also, another thing, We have seen it. Well, this is my own view, and my own view can be wrong also. It can be biased also, because I will think in my favor, in our favor. To Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with some safar to various countries, and mostly we meet our students everywhere, and we know the students of other places, and this is my view. But Alhamdulillah, many, many people, big ulama from around the world, our local ulama from other countries, India, Pakistan, UK, America, other ulama, they say that your students, we just see them different. They shine out different. The work they do, because this tarbiyat aspect of the of also. And many students have said, one student recently in Mauritius, he said, since we are putting more emphasis on tarbiyat in the madrasa, I see the complete difference of the students who graduated before and the students who are graduating now. That after the tarbiyat, to see to the akhlaq, etc., nobody is perfect, nobody is an angel. We all have got our weaknesses and we all have got our faults. But this aspect of tarbiyat is a very important aspect, which is the actual thing. In fact, ulama say that before in our madaris, there was only 10% ta'aleem and 90% was tarbiyat. And slowly, slowly change to such an extent that today, in the vast majority of the madrasas in the world, there is no tarbiyat, only ta'aleem. And in some madrasas, not only ta'aleem, but ta'aleem sitting on table and chair, like the school desks, etc., on like that. Ta'aleem in such a way, Bukhari Sharif is open and there is a reality, and the students are smoking. With their shoes on, the ustad also, and teaching Bukhari Sharif. They are convinced, they are learning deen. But we are, from our point of view, we will say, what kind of deen is this? That they are learning in this way. So this tarbiyat, and not only us, but when the conference was here, and besides that also, many times, Tabligh Jamaat comes Arab, from Arab countries, and they walk in the madrasa, and they see the students sitting on the floor. And how we are teaching, they get amazed and they can't believe that this is not only a possibility but a reality in the world today, that still ta'aleem like this is carrying on. And many of them get more amazed in a Western oriented country. A country with Western culture like South Africa. It's not an Islamic country, it's not a Muslim country, it's not an Eastern country, Middle East country. It's a Western country, but yet this type of ta'aleem. So this is what is the most important thing. And also, to digress a little bit, don't worry, people will also get a chance to say something. Yes, not only I will be speaking, we'll listen to you also, inshallah. That this ta'aleem of ours, that it is in these countries, and people, for example, when the Bosnia war was carrying on, in Bosnia, Herzegovina, all these places, and there was massacre of Muslims. A mufti of Bosnia, who stays in America, came and visited us during those days. When he walked in the madrasa, just past the office, just when you come to the corridor, he stood like a statue there, literally, without exaggeration. I was with him. About 2-3 minutes, he just stood like a statue. Then he told us who were around him, please pinch me. That am I dreaming? Am I alive and dreaming? Or am I in Jannat? Or am I just dreaming to see a madrasa like this, a dini madrasa? And then he said that Islam can never, the light of Islam can't be extinguished in the world. And Islam's system is such that you press it down one place, like that time in Bosnia, Herzegovina, all the murders, massacres that were taking place. But here he says, I say Islam is rising again. This is a system of Islam. It cannot, nobody can extinguish the light of deen, of iman and Islam. Allah has taken that promise and it's not in our hands and we can't do anything and we won't do anything. But Allah is the doer. Allah will do it. So this is what must come out of the students we want. to have these qualities. And those students, without exaggeration, who have imbibed this, they were not so clever. They didn't come first, second and third. They didn't get the best marks. And they were not so hard working also. Not so intelligent also, not so hard working. But whose tarbiyat got made, they did great, great work of deen in the world. And till today, how many of our students are we? It's our good fortune, and many, many people have said and seen dreams also that the classrooms of our Darul Uloom are joined with the classrooms of Darul Uloom Deoband. Many people have seen these dreams that the work Allah Ta'ala took from Deoband in a small little scale, Allah is taking from our Darul Uloom also. That our Darul Uloom, not only ulama have been produced, but Darul Ulooms have been produced. And many other efforts of deen have been produced from our Darul Uloom, from our students. So this makes us extremely happy. And this is what we want must carry on. This inside quality must come in our students, not just an outward show or even of a proper deen-i ta'aleem, but the inside reality must come. So therefore, we would like this thing to come. And as far as the food is concerned, I still can't understand. I'm thinking of it quite a bit before this plug point issue came about the power points in the rooms. Not only students, but many parents said you are spoiling the students by the good food you are giving them. They said your Darul Uloom is a 7-star hotel. How you are living. But suddenly the whole opinion has changed now. Since the plug points have been taken, and this not because of the cooking in the rooms, but the food that is cooked here. And the madrasa as such, many, many people used to say that you are spoiling the students in this way. So anyway, with regard to food, when we were studying in Darul Uloom Deoband, South African students, and for us to eat the food that was cooked in the mess in Darul Uloom was almost an impossibility. Why? Because, I'll give you one example, once it was 15 Shaban, and we had hired a house in Deoband where we used to cook, and we hired a cook, he used to cook for us, and we should eat, we should pay towards the mess, and we should eat there. The neighbor was one who started of the Darul Uloom. On the 15th Shaban, he sent some food for us, in one bowl. Eating was out of the question. You couldn't taste it also. So strong it was. The mirch in it was so strong, the smell of it knocks you out already. You can't taste it. Forget eating was out of the question. So it was difficult. We couldn't eat the food because the stomach just couldn't take it. In fact, sometimes we would get guests from South Africa, and then we had to put an application that we want food to be cooked in the mess of the Darul Uloom. And when we should stay there, no mirch whatsoever, no spices, no masala whatsoever. Then too, you couldn't eat it. They can't understand how that's not food if there isn't that masala. And they eat extremely, extremely strong. And you get sick, we get sick, we couldn't eat that. So we approached the principal, Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahab, rahmatullah alayh. They made me the spokesman. I went to Qari Sahab together with one other student, and we explained Qari Sahab that we have got this problem. So Qari Sahab was a man of great, great wisdom. I don't think anyone saw Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahab who's sitting here. I don't think so. But you can still listen to his bayans. There are many of his, you can read his bayans, you'll get astonished how Allah Ta'ala had blessed him. He's the grandson of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali. This whole family Allah Ta'ala has blessed them so greatly. So in a very cool, calm way, I say, since when has food become an issue for a student? A student thinks about food. He says, student is here for knowledge, not for food. He says, how come your people's mind went towards food and you're thinking about food? He says, that is not at all for a student. And he gave quite a bit of introduction on that. He says, yeah, your food is your knowledge. And like a poet says, Kitabu ka warak, which is in our Tarana also, which is actually a poem of somebody else, okay, the pages of the kitabs must become my kafan. That is how a student should stay, all the time with his kitabs. So this should really be no issue for a student. We have to eat, we are human beings, we are not angels. But a student is such, and Allahu Akbar. What Maulana Musa Patel, Damat Barakatuhum, Jazawumullah Khair, every Wednesday he reads out to us what the mujahada of the students were and supposed to be. But this a person gets made. And today are not difficult conditions. One alim visited us here and explained our mujahada is not like this mujahada of the students of before. Before the students, there were no darul iqama boarding hostels in the madrasa. There were no classrooms also. One alim in one town, in one country, he was good. Good in nahwa, sarf, hadith, fiqh, tafsir, whatever, students would go to him. All they love, how to love, they had to make their own arrangement. Make their arrangement in a masjid or anywhere else. They should have to do everything on their own. And then they should go to take sabak by their ustad, by his house. That is all, no food, no nothing. And many of them were married students. So what they used to do, 6 months they used to earn. And then 6 months they should come and study. They should earn money, save up money, and then 6 months they should study. Other students, they should take up a post as an imam or a muazzin in a masjid. And there they should carry on. On that I remember one instance, that one student in Delhi came to study. And in this way he was studying. So he was studying in his room in the masjid as a muazzin. He was there. So till late at night, perhaps 1-2 o'clock at night, he was studying, and riots broke out in the town. When the riots broke out, suddenly he saw a young girl came into the masjid. And those doors were not like our doors nowadays. There were cracks in the doors, etc. So she saw light coming from here. So she came, knocked on the door. So he asked, he's a young girl, 2 o'clock in the morning by my door. I asked, what's wrong? She said, there are riots and I need place. He said, how can you come here? Well, it's impossible. In the masjid, I'm a young man. You're a young woman. And here you are here. And what the people will come to know, even if we do nothing wrong, what will the people say? She said, where must I go? My life is in danger. If I go out, they'll kill me. The riots are carrying on. So then he thought, he said, okay, come in. And he let her sit in a corner. And he carried on with his mutala. Then when it was near Fajr time, now he has to give azan. So he told her, riots are over now, please go away. She said, right, it's fair, I'll go away now. But before I go, I want to ask you one question. That I saw you while you were making your mutala, every now and then, the little lamp you had, you were putting your finger in that flame. So why were you doing this? He said, you are a young woman, I'm a young man. Desire is in every person. And I desired, and you were at my mercy. I did a great favor for you. I could do what I want to with you. But then I reminded myself by putting my finger in the flame and tell myself, you can't tolerate this flame. How will you tolerate the fire of Jahannam? That girl was a nawab, like a king's daughter. And she was already engaged to marry somebody else. She went home and then she told her parents, if I marry, I'll only marry that poor little mullah. That poor student in the masjid, I won't marry anyone else. And she was married to a prince. Parents asked her why. She explained all this, what happened. Then they got married. And in such a marriage, Allah gave so much of barakah. All the children became great alims and hafizas. So this is how they used to study. Also one other instance that I remember, one alim who had graduated already. He wanted to study Qiraat, and Qari Panipati was a very famous, until today in India, Pakistan, Panipati Qiraat style of reading is very famous. It's a different style on its own. So he went to Qari Sahib to go and study. Qari Sahib told him, see, you can study here, but I got no kitchen, I got no food to offer. Yeah, teaching I can teach you, but don't ask me for food. He said, no, I didn't ask you for food. I'd make my own arrangement, and he had no arrangement. So he went to the masjid, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. It happened, one person passed away. So those people, it was a custom, and they feed poor people for 40 days. So he said, this poor student is in a masjid, let us feed him. 40 days got finished, another person passed away. So then also they also 40 days again. 40 days got finished, another person passed away. Then the people realized, yes, something happening here. That then they said, okay, see, we're going to give you food all the time. But you stop making this dua. So anyway, so the students used to make their own arrangements. In this way they should study. Today everything is found ready. And really, without exaggeration, a student say, we must go and taste the food. Now I'm gone quite a bit old. I find it difficult to move. But before I used to go regularly. And I could see this quality of the food. There was no real problem. I don't know if it has deteriorated suddenly. Then that is a different thing. But I used to check the food myself. And taste it also. I never found a problem with it. So anyway, so you understand, tarbiyat and ta'aleem is important. Understand, food is not the main thing. It is important. We can't live without food. And food must be of a reasonable, at least a reasonable standard. If it is not the best, it must be reasonable. Also, which surprises us, like we have with the khanqa once a month, then the same cook cooks for the khanqa. We have a jalsa, and the people just can't stop praising the food. And he's the same cook. We don't see what is the problem. If there is a problem, bring it to our notice. If there's such a big disparity that the food that is cooked in Ramzan, the food for the mu'takifin, before we should get from the houses, but now the numbers are more, it's being cooked here at the madrasa, and the people just enjoy the food. So we don't see where the problem is coming. Also remember that, yes, I was mentioning this point which got halfway left. That students, before, they used to make lot of mujahada, as this I explained little bit. Today there isn't that mujahada. Today Allah knows we are weak, it's plastic zamana, everything is plastic, we are plastic. So the hostel is found ready, there is electricity, there is water, there is the kitchen, then there is the laundry, everything is found ready. Today if we had to go work 6 months and come and study 6 months, should we have a problem? But Allah made it easy like this. So in those days they made all that mujahada. Now that mujahada is gone. Now there is no mujahada for the student. Now it is only little bit tahammul to tolerate. That is all. And those students who do mujahada in that zamana like that mujahada. And in this zamana just to tolerate a little bit. And together with your ta'aleem, Allah Ta'ala makes those students shine out in life. And remember, our object is not while we in the madrasa 6-8 years that we enjoying, we cooking, we eating, we are talking with our friends, all that, and we are enjoying. Our object is after madrasa, when we go back, when we go out of the madrasa. And we see how many students now present. I was surprised. One student I asked about, very good student. He's working in a shop. Why hasn't Allah accepted him to teach in a madrasa? He's just working in a shop after acquiring all his knowledge. And how many other students who outwardly are like weak or something, but mashallah, they're doing very good and their whole 24 hours is in deen work. So this is what we must. So this depends now, when the food, while the food is being cooked in a pot, that is important. That will be the result afterwards. And if it's not being cooked properly, then when you put it on the table, nobody want to eat. This isn't salt. It's too strong. It's too. It's bad. Nobody wants to eat it. So while you are getting cooked, so to say, this is the time you must be cooked properly. And then when you will be put on the dastarkhan, the people of the world will go wild for you. They will want you everywhere. Just like on the dastarkhan, if there's a wonderful dish, and it's right in the corner there, the person sitting right this side, he'll make sure he gets it. And he also eats from there. And if there's a dish right next to you, but it's not tasty, and it's full, but you don't want to take from it. So if we become right, the people of the world will go wild for us and they'll want to have us. And it comes from Allah's side. Allah Ta'ala will take great work from such people. Also, this discussion of ours, we must understand. I'm going to ask you also to give your views, etc. Though, the students, when at the end of the year in Shaban, when we closed, one student told me that time the talk was that we're going to take out the plug points in the rooms. So he said that, he told me he's put the problem, so I told him, give it to me in writing. He gave it, and then I told him also, get other students' signatures. But that time, madrasa was closing, afterwards he got more also. So we got quite, perhaps all the points that you have in your mind. Why the plug point should be there. You have given it to us. Perhaps there are still a few other points which you can tell us, no problem whatsoever. But also, I don't know if you have thought that why have we taken it out. Also, some students, parents phoned and they said, you are punishing the student. The plug points are not taken out as a punishment. There was nothing to punish the students about. Punishments are of a different type. This isn't for punishment of the students. This was the necessity the requirement that it was taken out. Not as a punishment, na'uzubillah. For what must we punish all the students? It wasn't taken out as a punishment, but as a necessity, as a requirement, we had to take it out. So this discussion is not a right of the students. Our duty is to do what we have to do. Your duty is to oblige and accept. But this is a privilege. To understand this, many people also think it's a birthright that I must have eyes, I must have a tongue. No, it's not our birthright. It's a gift from Allah. Our very existence that we have come in the world wasn't our birthright, that we worked for it and we justified and now we had the right to come in the dunya. Not at all. It is 100% a gift from Allah that we are here. Then all the ni'mats, outward ni'mats, eyes, ears, we are living comfortably, we are sitting comfortably here. There isn't a volcano, there isn't an earthquake, there isn't anything like that, there aren't riots, there aren't military coming in and just shooting wild or crooks. We are sitting, this is all gift from Allah. It's not our right, all these things. Then more greater, our Iman and Islam is also is a gift from Allah. It's not our birthright that I have to be a Muslim and I must be the best Muslim. It's a gift from Allah. And then we who Allah has brought to become Hafiz, Allahu Akbar. Just imagine to become a Hafiz, what? Just one aspect. Real Hafiz is only one, is only Allah. But we call a student who completed his hips Hafiz. This is not from our side. It is now Allah has made it like in universities, Western universities, you have a honorary degree that is conferred on somebody. He didn't study or anything. They just give him the degree honorary. So really, when a Hafiz becomes a Hafiz, just because he made outwardly that little effort, that was also from Allah's side that everything happened. Now Allah allows him to use Allah's name. And Allah, everyone will say Hafiz so and so. Which was actually Allah's name only. And in the same way, Mawlana is only Allah's name. Anta Mawlana. But it is used for other people also. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Mawla, the word is used for other people also. So now the word Mawlana for somebody, only actually Allah. But as an honorary gift, Allah allows the word. The same Qari, the only Qari is Allah. Mufti is only Allah. وَيَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِنَّ Allah is the Mufti who gives the fatwa. But a person who completes the course, now he's called Mufti so and so. So this is a great privilege from Allah and a great honor from Allah Ta'ala. It isn't our right. It isn't our that we demand it. It's a privilege from Allah. So in that same way, we also giving you this privilege that you also say, have your say, let us hear. And also remember that this whole discussion is not for scoring points. It's not true that the administration will see to it that we will stay on our point and we won't give the students plug points. And you don't have this attitude that we'll see to it, we'll get the plug points. We will win the debate and the discussion, and we'll see to it that we get. No, make dua, we also make dua, you also make dua, that what is the best must come out. In everyone's interest, and the main is the interest of deen. That food, and don't look only your present that you can cook, you can have a nice meal, you have a nice Thursday night, you enjoy, you cook, you eat, etc. Don't only look at that, don't be short-sighted, look at your future also. That for the future also we must be made. Not only that we're going to enjoy now and we don't worry about the future. Consider everything. So make dua and really have respect also. And wallah, I say, the amount of respect Allah has put in my heart for the students, that whenever I come into the masjid, I see the students, the dua that automatically comes in my heart, that, oh Allah, you put me in this group of the malaika, farishtas. And as you accept their namaz, please accept my namaz. You have accepted the students from around the world, and they have given their prime, the youth, which is the most loved by Allah. Not old age. Allah loves this age of yours. And you have given it for the greatest ibadat, acquiring of knowledge. So, and yeah, we get an opportunity to be with you. So we have that, and love for the students. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's blessing, that Allah blessed us with love for the students. So also you have that, you have respect for the authorities also. And if you have love for the authorities, what to say then? And but love is a thing which comes from Allah, in whose heart Allah puts that love. To have love for ulama, to have love for deen, Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, at this time presently, we know Hajj is very close. In fact, today, what is today, Wednesday? Yom al-Arbi'ah. Tomorrow, all the Hajj is going to Mina. And then Friday is Yom al-Arafah. But how many of us are even thinking about Makkah and Medina? We haven't got that love. Otherwise, love is such a thing, you don't have to be told. When you are getting married, and the first night you're going to be with your wife, nobody has to tell you, and your friends tell you, please, your wife is waiting, go. Go to your room. You just can't wait to get there. Love is such a thing that like a magnet, it pulls a person. If we had that love for Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, for the Arkan, for the great principles of Islam, our hearts, we'll be here, but our hearts will be in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif. How much do we even think of that? So love is a thing which comes from Allah. Blessed are those people who have been blessed with this love. And a few points are this. With regard to the in Deoband, we studied, we had electricity, but that electricity was so weak, the current, that only enough for light, one light only. You can't put a plug in there for anything. It drops. It doesn't have that. So they didn't allow it. And government regulation in hostels, that no cooking is allowed in a hostel room. And also, think who cooks in a bedroom. In your houses, do you cook in your bedroom? Nobody cooks in the bedroom. The father won't allow the wife to cook in the bedroom. Your parents won't allow you to cook. You must go to the kitchen. That's a place for cooking. That's a place. Not your bedroom is a place for cooking. Zamzam Hotel, many of us must be knowing who went for Umrah, who went for Hajj. Very, very superior hotel right out of the Haram of Makkah Sharif. They also had facilities for self-catering, a stove, etc., fridge. But all the rooms, they are discontinued. And that why they had to discontinue it, the misuse of it. And not by students, by grown-up people who go and stay in the hotel. Responsible people. But they misused it, that now all the rooms, they have disconnected it. And we know the attitude of students, young people. At the moment, the little facility that is made there by the kitchen, though it's not adequate, that's a separate subject which inshallah also we will deal with. But the drains are blocked there. The pictures were taken of the wastage of food, bread, rice, etc., throwing that food in the drains. And the same problems we had in the rooms, which we will come to just now. Also keep this also in mind, that must read the administration, listen to the students, or must the students listen to the administration. We really appreciate personally that, alhamdulillah, we know your feelings. You would like to cook, you would like to have the facilities in the rooms. It hasn't been there for the past 6 weeks or so, and mashallah, you are accepting it, you are going through with it. So that's a great thing. But the real attitude must be that we should listen. Like, for example, one student came to me many years ago in the office and he told me, "Maulana, I've got a problem." I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "My parents don't listen to me." Now, must the parents listen to the student or to the child, or must the child listen to the parents? But today this has become our attitude because of Western influence. Mm. We know in many countries, UK, many countries, you turn what, 18 or what? And then they come and give you your letter personally, that you can do what you want to. You don't have to listen to your parents. But we know that's not our system. That is a total alien system. That's not an Islamic system. So anyway, we appreciate your obedience, your listening, and we also appreciate that we want you to learn, and we want you to be a happy learner. We don't want you to have grudges in your heart, to be unhappy. We want you to be happy. But also, you also will understand that within the limits, otherwise you can make lot of demands which are out of bounds. And then you can't be happy in that, within the limit, that to be happy. A few results that we saw. Oh, another one point is that when that student told me at the end of last year, he told me his grievances, they made sense to me also. So he told me, "If we can put it on hold, don't take out the plug point." So I said, "Fine." And I informed Qari Abdullah and Maulana Abdullah Maulvi that don't take it out, we'll make further mashura, we'll discuss it with the ustads also and with the students also. Then this seems to be also from Allah's side. There was miscommunication between them and the worker, the person in charge of the maintenance of the rooms. And he thought that it was already, he didn't get proper instructions, you must stop the, take out the plug points. On his own, he stopped it. So maybe it is from Allah Ta'ala's side, otherwise we were going to have a mashura on this before we decide on that. So it was done, so it happened. So when it happened, a few things we noticed then. One is we see the rooms are much more cleaner, which is a great necessity compared to what it was before. And now also, after that, when we started and the cooking there by the kitchen side, and the dirt there, how terrible it is, it's unbelievable. The rooms before also, before Maulana Abdullah Mia used to see to the cleaning of the boarding during the Ramzan period, when we try and clean up thoroughly all the rooms again. Many times he came and he begged me, forced me, come and see the condition. What dirt there is there. And this is another very surprising thing. It is normally accepted that girls are more particular, more clean, etc. But in the girls' madrasa also, where they have cooking, it's unbelievable. And then you people know, we sit with the problem of cockroaches. We sit with the problem because when the dirt lies around, naturally all these insects and things have to come. Then you will complain the madrasa is not kept clean. And we can't have somebody to police every student 24 hours to see how things are. Also on this point, before I forget, many times I have personally announced there, we know the vast majority of students are good students, obedient students, they listen. But there are the few who are naughty, who do wrong things, etc. We tell, come and inform us so that we can separate the two. We can sort out those students, try and correct them. If they can't be corrected, ask them to leave the madrasa. And then we don't have to have so much regulations for all the good students also. And really, none of you might know, but from the time the madrasa started, we had lot of facilities for the students, lot of facilities. But over the years, one facility, unfortunately, we had to take it away. There were no burglar gates anywhere. There was no roll call. Because first, there were few students and they were all for namaz, we didn't have to worry. But today we know what is the condition. So we allowed the facilities. They were there, but they were abused. And then this is what resulted. And with regard to that, in every room, I had a great hand in the planning of the madrasa. For every room, I saw to it that there is a small kitchenette in the wuzukhana. With that section, it's still there, it is still present, and it was there with a stove and everything. But then how it was abused, the dirt, the filth, then students are cooking, not coming for namaz also. Then in this cooking, the fighting that starts with them, in this cooking and eating, the arguments they have, then all the gossip that takes place, then slowly we had to make it less. So we allowed it. And also according to government regulation, in a boarding, there is no cooking that is allowed there. Then the students started using from the plug points and the amount of extension cords that came, which is a big fire hazard. You just see wires running in the room all around, all sides the wires are running. That is, you can't do that. And then whatever happened, Allah knows best. We turned a blind eye, or it was done without us noticing. Free just started coming in. Nobody asked permission, freezes, and we kept quiet. I don't know why or what. Then microwave started coming in. So if this trend carries on, and how many freezes at one stage? And still now also students are asking permission for freezes. Then what's going to become of the boarding rooms? Where there will be freezers, where there will be microwave ovens, where there will be cooking all the time. Then the cooking went to the extent not only on a Thursday night, or not only after Isha, a little light snack, you make some tea, you sit together, you have some tea, etc. Now cooking for the afternoon also started. Cooking for the night also. And the result of this, another bad result was, students were not eating madrasa food. And this is also a strange psychology of students. I studied in Mia's Farm, Ratif Al Islamic Institute. And our Ustad, Maulana Ibrahim Mia, the Ahmed Barakatum, should tell us, you students are very ajeeb, that when they cook beans in the mess, you people don't eat because it's beans. And you take out a tin of beans, and you eat that beans, which there is no bagar, no masala, no nothing. Cold beans you take out and you eat, and the beans of Mia's Farm, now I don't think anyone knows, but they were famous everywhere, very delicious. The day there was beans curry, it was very delicious. Also I remember in Mia's Farm on a Saturday afternoon, daar used to be cooked, a fine daar. And that whole dining hall, there wasn't one student, I remember clearly, I should be the only student sitting and eating. Nobody should come and eat that daar. And what they should call that daar? Baby, and the S word. They should say that is the food. They should call that food like that. But Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me tawfiq, I should go there and the whole dining hall. But I should be the only student to sit and eat there. So, but when that the beans are cooked there, we don't want to eat. We take out our own thin beans and we eat it. So this is attitude, it's the nature of mankind. Like a person goes to a restaurant, he orders all burgers and whatever, all today funny things. But then he says that make sure you give me a diet Pepsi. All the other things are all so unhealthy, but then I want diet Coke, I want diet Pepsi, I'm worried about my health. But all the other things, what things isn't he eating there? Also namaz, we saw that since now there is no cooking, students are coming more for namaz. Otherwise engage, your pot is on the stove, you know what's going to happen, you are worried about it. The fire hazard, and on one occasion, students reported, and you have the full right to report to our shura of the madrasa before at the final end of the year. Students spoke to the shura members also, and they brought it out in the shura meeting that the students are feeling offended, they've got a complaint about the plug points being blocked, etc. So then one of the shura members, his own son who studied here, he told him that at one time a toaster was left on and it caught fire. And we had other fire hazards also. So these things we know, unfortunately, how irresponsible children. And this is not here in the madrasa where we got about 400 students. In the house where there are one boy, two boys, the mother has to fight so much with him. That this you don't keep clean, that you don't keep clean, this you're not doing right, your cupboard is so dirty. We know every home practically, mother, and yeah, not one, two students, 400 students that we have to see. And not only the young boys, the married man, the wife has to fight with the husband also. That this you do, you're so dirty, you don't keep this clean, you don't keep this right, etc. That is our nature, and yeah, we have to put up with about 400 plus students. Yeah, so it's not easy. Gee, our minds, as I said, should be more on our learning, not on our eating. Students came, we want plug points, we want to use our microwaves, we want to use our stoves, we want to cook, etc. But a student's mind should be more in kitabs. No student came and said we want library in our rooms, because we have to study kitabs all the time. Nobody got the taste for that. That library, you go to the library and they ask permission for extra hours to make arrangements, hours when the library is not open, but they want to be. So they made, and alhamdulillah, we try to accommodate them and we allow the library to be open. But no student came to say we want a library now, want a kitchen in the room, but we don't want a library. For a student, his taste must be library, not kitchen. Those are other gourmets, people who are just there. One time, one husband wife had a problem, they called me. So the husband said, clearly, I am Mr. Food. I want food. And my life is food. And he says, for example, you cook curry khichdi or any other food, and it is ready 1 hour before meals. And mealtime you warm it, he said, that's not food for me. It must be cooked just nice and hot, ready exactly at mealtime. And then you give it to me. So some people are so particular, so that's not the nature of a student, that he should be like that. Also from the experience that we have got, which we did allow in the madrasa, and it carried on the cooking. The first it was just meant for a light snack, then it went to cooking, still we turned the blind eye, then all the fridges and everything. So if we keep this like this, Allah alone knows where it's going to lead to, what a way it will come to, and the madrasa will be full of fridges and microwaves. When we discussed this amongst the ustads, then the ustad said, we will take responsibility and check. I said, for 30 years it couldn't be done. The cell phones, we can't control the students. No matter what laws we make or how we know we can't control it. Where are you going to check on this? How are you going to check on it? And we don't, a person must be proactive. Stop a problem before it happens. And we had so many hazards, fire hazards. Allah saved us. Otherwise, if a fire has to break out, all students in the madrasa, what can happen? May Allah save us all the time, inshallah. We do know the rooms are cold, and for that I did discuss it, and gas heaters are available, and the first bottle of gas will be given from the madrasa also, though we are looking at other alternatives also, so that the rooms can be reasonably warm. So I'll finish off now just with this last. We are thinking, there's just a thought still, it's nothing concrete, to make a kitchen in every second block. There are 6 blocks, so 3 blocks will have kitchens which will serve for 2 blocks. Either we do that, but that also we're not so keen. What seems to be much more better, and this Maulana Abdullah Maulvi suggested, that, and this is in many Darul Ulooms also, and many hostels, other places also, a canteen. that we have a canteen, and there we have one person, the whole staff there, to cook, etc. So all the students, for example, Thailand student want their fish and their rice to be cooked in that way, they inform him, he cooks for them. Other students, Malaysian students or whoever else, South African students want this kind dish, that kind dish, then it's prepared there. And you go there and you sit and eat it there. You pay for it, you eat it there. You don't have to cook, and the kind of dish you want, they prepare it. Then there are certain students with health problems. They need for their health. But of course, that's a rare occasion, and for which we provide in the madrasa. We inform the kitchen that this student, this is diet. Also, in the kitchen, all along we had students who cannot eat strong food. Like I said, when we were in India, we couldn't eat that food. Some students come, we can't eat the strong food. But then we make provision. And then cooks up used to tell us they can't eat the strong food. But on a Friday when it's biryani, then they can eat. Then there is no problem. But when it's something else, then they can't eat the strong food. So anyway, that provision is there till today. If a student got a health problem and he has to have a diet, we allow for that. Of course, you can understand we can't for every student have a separate diet also. That's also important. But we do accommodate for that. Now, the students, they can tell us in a responsible way that what you feel, what hasn't been covered, what you haven't told us till now, you send us your letters, we studied those letters. We didn't just put them one side, we discussed that letters. I told everyone concerned, study this point. And then we discussed those points. And in view of all that, this is what we are thinking. You tell us now how you feel. You don't have to be frightened, you don't have to be shy, and nobody will victimize you. If anyone victimizes you, you come to me and tell me. Nobody has the right to victimize anyone. And also remember one very important principle, not only in this matter but in all matters of deen, that if somebody wrongs you, like the husband wrongs the wife, he is the zalim. The wife must be obedient to the husband, but the badduas of that husband won't fall on the wives. If the ustad is wronging the student and the ustad is in the wrong, that baddua of the ustad won't fall on the students. In fact, it will go back and fall on him. In any case, a sheikh who is doing wrong to his murid, to ill-treating him or anything wrongly, and it is wrong, that his murid doesn't have to worry. That is such a great, maybe he is a great wali of Allah. But that his baddua, it won't affect him. If in that matter, that murid is not in, many times people go and say wrong things to other people. And now the person, the ustad, the father, the sheikh, becomes angry that why this person? And it was his duty to verify it first. But human nature, you become angry. And if a baddua comes out, it won't affect that person if he did not do that. So don't worry about that. So if anyone wants to say something, by all means you can explain and say. Come here. If you want to sit here, no problem. Good, they all can hear what you say.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I'd like to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's given us the ability to come to study in the Quran alone, given us the ability, chosen us from those thousands, millions of youngsters to study the knowledge of deen. Then after that, I thank Hazrat Mawlana, the Asatid and the staff for letting us study in this blessed Dar al-Ulum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let it go far and wide, inshaAllah, except all of us for the coming of you. Well, this is the first time the student actually gets to speak, and this, I'm speaking on behalf of hundreds of students, many who have come to me beforehand, and if only give this point, give this point, around hundreds of points that were told, I can only give so many. Many points that were already mentioned today, the students do not agree with many of them. We'll start off by just one thing that very great emphasis is given to Mujahidah. And Alhamdulillah, each one of us sitting here from thousands of miles away, some of us hundreds of miles, some of us might be local, but coming here to this institute in the first place, sitting in durus, staying away from haram, staying in this madrasa, staying in this environment, Alhamdulillah is a very great Mujahidah. And after that, the other thing is that us in our boardings, Alhamdulillah, we have some stuff that is found, but when it comes to the plugs that happened recently, this was a very difficult rule to board this difficult rule. What happened so many years, the madrasa has been open, that this problem has not arisen, and after 30 years or so, this problem has arisen that the plugs have come out. It's really difficult, especially for those that were here before. They were in madrasa, and all of a sudden this happens to them, it's very difficult. If this was in the beginning, when the madrasa opened, and the rule was such that there will be no electricity in the whole madrasa, it might have been much easier for us to enter ourselves and be accepted to study in this Darul Uloom. Many different points I've written down here. One is that many students here do not eat in the mess, period. Many that do eat, they eat two or three times a week. And those that don't eat, they order from outside. Many a times you'll see them in the shops buying food. And a point was discussed that the food in the mess, there's no complaints about it, because the food in the khanqah and the jalsa is very well cooked. And I can give a fact, and everyone here sitting will probably agree with me. If the food in the mess is as good as the food in the khanqah and the jalsa, none of us, inshallah, will have any complaint. And if anyone that does have a complaint, this is a zulm on his behalf. And the other thing is, one day last year I remember that there was leftover food from the khanqah. They fed it, they gave it in the mess, alhamdulillah, on Monday. It was very, really delicious. This is a fact. But if we look at the other meals in the week, it's really difficult for some of us to eat. If the food can be cooked better, inshallah, it will be very much easier. The other thing, in the end of last year, we heard that the plugs will be taken out. And just like the Darul Uloom Zakariyya, they have for each block, they have one room which has electricity. So we thought that was going to happen for each block in madrasa, but that didn't happen. But the matter of fact is that in the mess, if we look right now, there's three plugs for ironing for around 300 or 400 students. There's around 5 plugs for fridges. There's only a few plugs for those that want to cook. And the others that want to cook, it's really difficult for them. And some people really need their food, the food that they're used to. And it's not just a reason to have fun, but it's a reason that we can't really eat the food in the mess. Some of us have stomach problems. Students have told me that if they eat breakfast in the mess or lunch in the mess, it causes diarrhea and it causes them stomach pain. And the other thing is that the six students in madrasa, especially 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, the freezing temperature and the cold air, it caused a lot of damage and hardship to the students. There was no heater in the rooms. These gas heaters, yes, the first one might be free, but after that, how much is the person going to pay? And the other thing is that we won't cook in the rooms, inshallah, if the electricity is brought back. At least if it's brought back into the kitchen or one room in the whole block, then inshallah we will only cook in there. And if any damage is caused, then each room should be responsible. Each student will be responsible for the damage he has caused, and he should pay for it. The other thing is that the heaters and the fans in the summertime. Summertime here gets really hot, and there's no fans available in the madrasa, and it's really difficult for the students to manage. And we do acknowledge the fact that, alhamdulillah, there are much easier facilities in this madrasa compared to others. But the thing is that times have changed, the students are not really the same. If we really look at the majority of the students, the way we study is not the same way that they used to study before. And this rule here does not really change this fact. If we look at the amount of students that studied last year and the amount of students that studied this year, there's not really a big change. So if Maulana and the staff can keep these thoughts in mind, inshallah, and make mashallah, inshallah, and to see if they can change anything, inshallah.
Inshallah. Write out these points in detail and give them to me. Also, like, for example, what careful we should be, you say, no electricity in the room. We shouldn't misinterpret. Then how the lights are burning. So there are no power points in the plugs, but there is electricity. So if somebody hears this somewhere in the world, or the students got no electricity, they're going to Stone Age time again. There is no electricity, but there is electricity. There is electricity there, and I can't remember a few other points, but anyway, give it to us properly and we will discuss it again. It's no final thing, and we make dua And Allah is the controller of everyone's hearts, minds, and decisions come from Allah Ta'ala. And we don't want it, take it out of your mind that it's a punishment. It's not a punishment. We're just trying to see what is better for the madrasa for you. And we will discuss it. And we make dua that what is the best. If whatever is the best, Allah must grant that and let it come out, inshallah. And let us all study nicely and happily. And a happy student, that is, then you'll perform the best. If you are not happy, you're not. But of course, we can't allow your happiness like a student, like a child who wants to watch TV. And he'll only be happy if he watches TV. And the parents, if they are inclined to deen, they'll know this we can't allow. Other things, we try and make him happy with other things, but with wrong things, we can't make somebody happy. So within the limits, inshallah, we will try and see. And dua is very important, and that we get saved of our nafsaniyat. That just for our nafs sake, we want to do things, whether it's from our side, whether it's from your side. So Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, bless us with what is right. Stand up and speak, Harun. Or you just want to say something?
So, just a concern for, because I know one of the students.
Put
here,
your book in your pocket. I won't steal your money. Stand up, stand up.
One of the students here have told me personally, I don't have to mention his name, but he's complained of cigarettes, right? And this is House of Allah. And me, when I came from San Diego, you know, by Allah's mercy, I do get headache when I smell the cigarette. But I do have mercy for my brothers, because I do talk with Muslims who smoke cigarettes, who did this, who did that, who had substance abuse. But my concern is for a new Muslim. He's a new Muslim here trying to study from America, but he told me, Harun, I get headache when I smell cigarettes. So, just a concern that I would like to tell you, mashallah, tabarakallah, may Allah bless you to be here, but I'm one of the students who get headache when I smell cigarettes. I'm not a snitch. I'm not going to point my finger at you. I'm not going to name your name or point you. But please have mercy to your brothers. Some of us, we don't like complaining too much, but we're patient. That's all.
Like these points we told many times. For 50 years times, I don't know how many times we told this. And as what's his name? Who was here? Hamza. That the students, he said they'll take responsibility, but we didn't see one student taking responsibility. The students play soccer in the room, cricket in the room, break the windows, and then they don't want to. They say we don't know who did. This is a common thing. If that responsibility, wallah, I say if that responsibility can be there, and we initiated the madrasa, looking that these are grown-up students becoming alims, they are responsible. With that in mind, the madrasa has been planned. Not that they are young boys who are naughty, who are like delinquents, but who are responsible. But we don't see that responsibility forthcoming. And like Harun explains, really, it's a serious matter. We know the smoking. It's really terrible. And according to how many ulama, it's haram also. But yeah, we find in a madrasa, and especially a student who comes from home and expects an environment of jannat in a madrasa, and then he gets all these terrible things happening here. And other wrong things, but no students ever come and say. If you come and tell us, we can try and correct those things.
What? Well, as I was listening to you about earlier, you mentioned that, as you said, that South African government says that there should be no cooking in the morning. As I listened to that, first is that madrasa is not really registered. And if you follow the government laws according to South Africa, I'm really sorry if that's offensive, but if we really do follow that law, there are many other laws that we should follow according to South African government. The other thing I would like to say is that as people ask me from back home, how is it to come into Madrasah? How would I fit in there? It is very hard for me to tell them to come because I personally can't fit in here properly. The food thing, yes, you mentioned that the food you can. And when you mentioned earlier the year last year that eating from outside is eating junk food, eating that is not good for your health. And you should there's more barakah in the masjid. So for that, we can't, since the plug point's been taken out, the students have been eating more out. As my budget last year, I was looking at it, how much I was spending monthly on food outside, and how much monthly money that I'm spending this year. It has gone up by a good 700 to 800 rands. And like I said earlier, Moana, people ask me that if I should come to Madrasah. I'd be honest with them saying that I don't fit in here. I mean, it's your. If you want to give it a try, you can come here and give it a try. I usually recommend them to go to Madrasah like Zakaria if they could fit in there, or go to your castle or something. Because personally, I feel like a Madrasah here, like after the plug point was here, was taken out, it was very hard for me to stay.
Very short.
For the privilege of letting us speak, because we have to acknowledge the fact that the electricity is a privilege, right? And no one here can say that it's my right to have electricity, it's my right to cook. And this is just a privilege from Maulana's side to give us a chance to speak. Not only did he allow us to have electricity, but he gave us a chance to speak about it now, after it's been taken away. So I don't think any student should find it in his heart that, you know, I'm being abused or like he's stealing my rights, because it was never your right in the first place. So it is a privilege and we all acknowledge it. But Moana, I'd like to say that one thing is that the students, when they're cooking, they're not cooking most of the time, it's not for an Nafsani purpose. Most of the time it's just for a basic meal. Maybe like a basic cup of tea and basic eggs, noodles, simple things. And those students who are cooking extravagantly, like they're cooking during Salat times, they're cooking during these times, they're cooking large foods, they're cooking chicken, all these things. These students are usually the slackers, they're the loafers, they're not the guys who are paying attention in class, they're not the good students. I hate to, you know, point fingers at anyone, but this is the reality. The students are missing Salat to cook, and the students are cooking so much, they're only doing it for, these guys are the ones who are slacking in class. So these guys are the loafers. So these loafers, even whether you give them electricity or you don't, they're always going to be loafers. That's the reality of them. And Maulana, you mentioned so many things about, you know, all the bad effects about cooking. That, you know, all the dirt, no one cleans up, no one does this, no one does that. Everyone abuses it and no one pays for it. Isn't this the reality, the point, the root of this problem is that the islah of the students hasn't been made. That even whether you give them electricity, you don't give them electricity. You give them rights or you don't give them rights. Whatever you give them, they will abuse it. Because the islah hasn't been made. Whether it's electricity or you just give them the light in the room, they're going to abuse it. Because the islah hasn't been made. So why is the focus that, you know, we're going to force laws on the students and, you know, we're going to make them more greedy for the electricity in their hearts and create all the animosity in their hearts and all this anger? Why isn't the focus to work on every individual student? Because I've been seeing that Am Nasihat is given every day after Asr, which is a good thing. But Am Nasihat, when you look at it, it only affects a group of students. Whereas when an Ustad actually, because it's never happened, it's rarely happened that an Ustad actually comes up to a student and gives him advice. It happened to me once in Ula. And this is why, alhamdulillah, my way has been becoming more straight. But we just don't get the khas nasiha from the usad. We don't get the khas tawajjuh from the usad. We don't get the khas tawajjuh from any administration. We're just getting am nasiha. We're getting laws thrown at us. We're getting constricted, 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 constricted. Nothing is really changing in us. Whereas if we were to be told individually and, you know, one-on-one, then you'd see a great change in a student.
We do work on that lines. We do when we speak to the Ustad that this shouldn't be like a university where Ustad just gives a lecture and his work is done. But as you say correctly, we stress a lot on that one-on-one. And that is especially in the Dars, in Bukhari, etc. I explain how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made tarbiyat of the Sahaba on an individual one-on-one basis. We do stress that, but and all the nasihats are given, but then whatever Allah wishes, we cannot control everything. We do try our best. Short.
So the first point I should mention is
We should appreciate that all that our administration, our ancestors is making for us. And we should be shukr to Allah Ta'ala that we are in this madaris, not in deen. We're not here to be luxurious on our living things, just to make our career. So let me think only him and then go home. There's a big mehnat behind this. So we should appreciate that all that our administration, they don't hurt and harsh over them, over us. So we should appreciate. Jazakallahu khair.
Inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم خير لنا واختير لنا. اللهم ارضنا بما قضيت لنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من العمل والفعل والقول والنية والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.